Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all things EVs and technology, and apparently the Grinch. But we have Chase and we kind of have Will here. We don't have him.
I'm
on
here,
camera.
I promise. I'm eating a pizza. Nobody's here to look at my face. We'll be fine.
he's here with us. So let's get into that, Chase. You brought up right before we went live that you have a beef with the Grinch. Please share.
Yeah, I put it up on my Twitter. It's kind of a cool thing we did over the weekend. Ended up renting a Cybertruck off Turo from another guy that I know that rents here in Austin. I happen to be a Cyber Beast, but the real reason why we rented it is to go to the Peppermint Parkway, which is like a big festival that they put at the Circuit of the Americas track. So it's kind of like it's a drive-through kind of experience. So you see all the lights as you're driving through because they take you like underneath a tunnel, like kind of inside the track and then outside the track. And then what's cool about it, and the reason why we rented the Cybertruck, is that you actually get to take a lap around the track too, which is really cool. So but this in the Peppermint Parkway was you first get in there, you barely can see in the video unless you have to like zoom in, is the Grinch as we like drove by him. He looks over at me, he's like, "How much you pay for this piece of junk?" And I'm like, "Okay, that's fine."
Yeah, I have a funny story. So my goddaughter, she's always like, she's loves the Grinch, right? So for every Christmas, she wants to watch Grinch movies. She loves the Grinch, all that. My sister took her to Universal Studios and they had the Grinch there. Well, the Grinch, like you're saying, he's got a little attitude, right? And she knows this, but you know. So he starts like just giving her the hardest time. She started crying. She wanted nothing to do with the Grinch. Now, if you ask her about the Grinch, she's just like, whatever. I want nothing to do with that guy. So, yeah, he's not meant to be the nicest guy in the world, you know? So,
oh, yeah. I guess this is, what is it? The first act Grinch, if you're following along with the live action movie, because like obviously he gets a big heart in the end.
Yeah.
It depends on which Grinch you're going to see. But it was really cool. I think, if anything, I was also selfishly just wanting to try to drive a Cyber Beast.
And so how did you feel about that? I'm gonna show your launch here.
So it was very rainy that day, so I really couldn't do a whole lot of like fun stuff on the road, but we did find a stretch in the neighborhood that was pretty dead. And I took my neighbor and we launched it, and he almost like smacked his phone in his face because it it torqued us so hard.
Oh yeah.
Which it's crazy. Like it is like stupid fast in like beast mode.
I feel like that's the joy of Tesla that's been there for the last 10 years has been just absolutely pummeling somebody into the seat of a car being like, yeah, so this is launch mode, you know, it's phenomenal.
But so the thing about that is like, it's okay. So the beast is 845 horsepower. The quad motor, large battery Rivian that we have is like 835 horsepower. There is a significant difference between the takeoff between those two motors. It's like, it's just as like, quote unquote, fast by horsepower's sake, but the launch rate is significant in the Teslas. And I don't know what it is, but those engines are like always ready. Whereas like Rivian, you kind of have like a smooth, like a weird kind of ramp up into it where it's like, it's the power is always there. Like you mash on the accelerator, you're going, and that's where you get that like instant G-force. But with the Rivian, it's more like a smooth ramp into it.
I'm looking up because I was going to ask you, but I said, you know what? While you're talking, let me just look it up. I wonder. You have the tri motor, right?
We have quad.
Oh yeah, the quad motor. Okay, so I'm curious to see how much they weigh. Oh. So it states right here the quad max ascend. Is that yours?
Not the ascend. We have the quad large.
Okay.
Quad max ascends 6,800.
Yeah. So 6,800 and the Cyber Beast is 7,100. Let's just call it 300 pounds heavier.
Yeah. It's heavier and quicker off the.
Well,
off
that's
the jump.
What I was going to get to. So heavier, one less motor, and yet that much quicker. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, like because 0 to 60 in that was 2.6, even with a rolling start. But the Rivian's supposed to be right at 3 seconds, so it definitely is, you know, 0.4 seconds difference, which is a big difference, really.
It's a big difference, but I mean, 3 seconds for an SUV. I mean,
I think
that
it's
is ridiculous,
and I think that's always been, that's always been like Tesla's thing for electric vehicles. It was always the punch. It was always that quickness. So much so, I feel like. that the amount of quickness that they leave in the motor for the owner to play with on like Cyber Beast or Launch Mode or Ludicrous or whatever, whatever they do is part of the reason why our Rivians are so much better at predicting the mileage that our battery will be at when we arrive at our destination, how much range it has with a real good accuracy. Versus Tesla, I think that the trade-off is you don't get that kind of accuracy, but you get some other fun, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. And specifically when we launched that in that video, we had also slippery surface mode turned on, and the road was fairly wet, and I didn't lose any traction at all. It was crazy that we could go that fast in that kind of condition. Like, you take any other, like, Corvette or whatever, they would have spun out in that easily. So it was really impressive. And I could definitely tell the difference between having that slippery surface mode on and off. It definitely was on most of the day. But the other thing I want to talk about that I got to do was the FSD.
Okay, nice. So talk about it, because you haven't experienced that yet, right?
Yeah, 12.5, first time. First time I jump in, we're about to get onto the highway. And I'm like, all right, let's see what FSD is. So I hit the button, and then it started to go. But it was rainy and couldn't make the first exit because it didn't understand. It was like a construction on ramp.
Interesting.
So I had to take over there. Like, all right, I got the whole experience. Like, all right, I took over. I thought it was really cool that they actually like prompt you, be like, hey, I saw you like took over full self-driving. What happened? And you can press a button and you can record like a recording for 15 seconds and they'll have that as data for if they get, you know, that issue brought up. I think that's amazing. But yeah, then the next on ramp, I was able to allow it to go, but still it was pretty sketchy because it was really rainy. So I just let Jesus take the wheel and Elon take the wheel.
So it's kind of a good conversation because I've seen online of people complain that in the rain, FSD doesn't work because it's camera-based. Mm-hmm. And so the cameras are getting, you know, water on them and the imaging, you know, processing, I guess, isn't as accurate. So it'll just tell you, like, we can't engage FSD. Did you experience
it already that? Said that it had, like, it was limited because of it was raining, essentially. So it already gave the warning, like, hey, FSD might be, I forget what the word they used, but it was basically limited. But I only had one issue where it was, like, it popped up with, like, the red warning that was, like, take control immediately kind of thing. When it was up on the highway, it was really misty, so it was almost like a whiteout. And we were following behind one vehicle, and it decided to get over into the left far lane to go ahead and pass. But there was a vehicle that was like up further ahead that it couldn't very well see. So that's where it was like, oh, no, I don't know what's happening. You take over. And it was not going to do anything dangerous, but it was nice that it stopped itself before it got into a situation that was sketchy. So give you a little bit of confidence in it. But still, it's really trippy. Like, not like touching the wheel and just letting it do its thing. Like, it was a fun kind of parlor trick to show, you know, my neighbors and my family, like, around the neighborhood, be like, oh, it's making turns, it's stopping at stoplights, it's all doing all these things. And they're like, what?
Yeah, it is. I've had my moments with FSD with the Cybertruck, but they've done some updates, they've fixed some things. I was having some issues where it was, you know, going over the lane lines and going into other lanes. I'm not experiencing that anymore. But yeah, I mean, I love it. And it's kind of weird that you mentioned, but you said you were in the rain, right? And with that construction off ramp. And I had the same thing. I wasn't in the rain, but I had an off ramp that had some construction. And I was very, very pleased with how it handled all that. And that was the first day I got FSD. So that was when it was still giving me those other issues. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I love it, and that's cool that you were able to experience it.
Overall, I think it's miles ahead of where I was expecting it to be, and it's, especially since I've tried, you know, last time I did any of it was with the autopilot, so on ramp to off ramp kind of stuff, and yeah, it was shocking. Like, even lane changing, feeling all natural, like it was doing its own thing based off of what the traffic was doing, and that was really cool to see.
The one thing I've noticed that it still does that kind of prevents me from using it as often as I would like is when I'm on the highway, it'll just change lanes a little too often. Like, for me, it's just like, just stay right here. Like, I'm okay just staying right here. It's changing lanes, and I'm like, why are we doing that? And it just kind of goes back and forth, and I'm like, we don't need to do that. Like, just stay right here.
Did you try dabbling with the aggressive versus chill mode or whatever?
No, I need to do that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not like, I gotta just mess with it a little bit more, but I'm getting older, so I'm getting impatient.
Well, yeah, I should give like different, not aggressive or like not aggressive. You should like give driver profiles and be like, all right, here's grandpa. Here's like a teenager.
That's where I would be. I mean, if anybody saw my video with Cobra and we did a range test video and I wanted to make sure all of our settings were the same. And I was giving him a hard time because everything he has is like on aggressive and like fast. And I told him, I said, why do you have all
Max.
This? And he's like, well, what do you have it at? And I told him, you know, and he's like, dude, you drive here just like a granny. Like, what are you doing? I'm getting old. I'm sorry. Now, let me ask you this. I know Will has commented on it in the past, but what is your opinions on now that you drove the Cybertruck with FSD? What is your opinions on that versus your Rivian and whatever system Rivian has?
Yeah, I feel like, well, Rivian is still miles behind. I feel like like the Driver Plus stuff is interesting. It's just, it's not FSD. Like it's basically like what other vehicles, what other ICE vehicles have of like keeping your lane, you know, keep with the traffic, make the turns, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's a glorified cruise control.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just traffic aware cruise control where it controls the acceleration, it goes one step beyond to keep you between the lanes, which in my experience driving around a lot lately loses the lines on the highways way too frequently to the point where I'm taking over for Driver Plus because it constantly can't see the lanes. And I know that there was a problem that you know, Tesla had, you know, a while back, but it's interesting to see just how far apart they are.
Yeah. It's-
so now that you've experienced it, let's talk about the $8,000 price tag.
Ooh.
What's your opinion? Is it worth, like, in your opinion, after using it? And you weren't able to really fully use it because you were in the rain, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure you see the potential of it and you get to experience enough of it. Like, what do you think?
I could see it being worth it. It also depends on how much you want to use it. Because it's like one of those things where it's like, I feel like if... someone who is buying a Tesla for the first time, they're just now getting into EVs. They don't really understand everything just quite yet. And then having them sold on an extra $8,000, I think is going to be a tough sell.
Yeah.
Without actually having them like test drive it themselves for a few days, which I think that's where the 48-hour test drives are going to be great for that kind of stuff. I'd be like, oh yeah, and here's how you do FSD. I think that would sell it. But I think it comes with a risk because you have to like give up that trust. Where you really have to like get over that hurdle, and that's a tough one. Even when I know and I expect it, I still feel those things. I'm like, is it going to make this? And then it does, and then you're like, okay. So it's that anxiety is something for I think everyone to get over. But I think I actually wonder if like that would feel differently in a robotaxi though, or if it'd be worse. Because like if you know that you can't do anything, you're like, well, it's going to do its thing.
You have no way to take control.
It might be better because it's like okay. Think about if you're in a jet plane, like a 747 or whatnot. It's not like you have no control. You're just like, all right, if we die, we die. You're like, all right, that's it is what it is. I don't have a parachute. I can't do anything about it. It's out of your control completely. Because of a robotaxi, it just doesn't have a steering wheel and pedals. It literally is just out of your control completely. So maybe you would actually feel better that way. But because you know you can take control, you're always like second guessing it almost.
Now, did you have your wife drive it at all with the FSD?
She rode along in the FSD, but she's still freaked out about it.
Okay, like, that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. I don't think she would ever do it on her own. And that's another reason why, like, if you would use it, I would say it's worth it. But if not, like, I definitely know, it's funny, I know a buddy of mine that he had an early on Tesla, and he refused to get the hardware. Because he was like, dude, if I had an FSD and it could just drive me everywhere, I would like never be sober. I would just like go to all the bars and just have it drive me wherever.
That's a wherever whole
that escalated.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, that's a fair assessment. Keep yourself honest. But that's where like it even tweeted.
This is the one thing holding me from sobriety.
Yeah.
Oh, I could do this because
I could see that being like
I'm
a thing where people
by
are like
single rope.
100%. I could. That's where I said, but go buy you know weed and alcohol stocks because if this is widespread, you don't really have to worry about DUIs anymore unless you're like in the rain and you have to take over. But I guess that raises my question is like, what's the robotaxi going to do in those situations where you absolutely have to take over? Like, is it just not going to take you in the rain, you know, or the heavy snow or these other conditions?
Well, that's probably the concern with the camera based system, right?
Mm-hmm.
That if it's not going to be able to do its job, obviously I live in an area where the climate is nice most of the time. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to really run into that very often. But let's just say I lived in a climate that snowed a lot, rained a lot, mm-hmm. and I want to use my $8,000 FSD, and now I can't. I don't know. I don't know mm-hmm. how I would feel about that.
Yeah. For me personally, though, I don't think it's enough. Like, if I still had to pay the $8,000 extra, I don't think it's enough for me to fork for FSD with the Cybertruck than just having the Cybertruck. Because I think just having the Cybertruck is good enough.
Yeah. Well, I love the Cybertruck, obviously. I know you guys do too. Just waiting for you guys to get back in the family. That's all. So
give it time.
They keep dropping that lease price. I might be sooner than we think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
It's funny. I ran into Farzad at the grocery store this week too. And I told him about the
where does he shop?
At HEB.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Everyone shops at HEB. Yeah, it's Texas. But
I was like, I told him about the Ford thing being like a, you know, lease to start at $192. He's like, damn, he was like, I might buy one. So I'm like, that's where, like, we were talking about the Rivian because we had the Rivian with us and he was like, mm-hmm. yeah, I love it. But, you know, if a good deal comes along, I might have to change it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually very surprised that Farzad doesn't have a Cybertruck yet.
Well, yeah, because he had their new baby coming along. So he decided to wait, which, in all fairness, is a great plan for him because he's saving a lot of money because he had like a Foundation Series reservation.
Yeah.
Well, he's a more responsible man than myself, I guess. Wanted to talk about something that kind of, I guess you could say, ruffled my feathers a little bit. We had a little short conversation prior to going live. Came across Motor Trend. You know, they every year they do a car of the year, a truck of the year, whatever, you know, something of the year, right? They go through the whole list, laundry list of vehicles, and they give their awards. So they had an article published today, and they're talking about the Cybertruck and its candidacy to be truck of the year. Spoiler alert, the Cybertruck did not win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what kind of struck me, and I don't want to be ultra sensitive because I'm typically not an ultra sensitive guy, but it's just one of those things where we've talked about in the past, you know, Reddit, subreddits of Cyberstuck and these people and those guys, it's frustrating from the standpoint of you got a group of people and there's a lot of people in that Cyberstuck subreddit. And it's just like they spend their day every day just focusing on hate towards Cybertruck, which is sad to me. But beyond that, you know, I get frustrated because I look at Motor Trend and I go, that's a brand that everybody knows and has influence. And I don't mind if you have criticisms of the Cybertruck, because guess what? I do. I have many criticisms of the Cybertruck. But the problem is, when you go into the article in the first paragraph, one thing you see right away is right here, and it says, we suspect a virtual mean tweet style skirmish has already broken out over the Cybertruck between Tesla fanatics and, well, everyone else on this planet with eyeballs and good taste. So it's just one of those things where I obviously own a Cybertruck, so they're clearly telling me that I don't have good taste because I have a vehicle that I think is innovative, that is pushing the industry forward, pushing the truck market forward. I have owned many trucks. I love trucks. I don't want to have anything other than a truck. And so if there's a truck on the market that's pushing everyone else and the Cybertruck is doing that, I'm all about it. But yet, you know, they just take these type of jabs. And if you go on this article, we're going to go through everything, but if you just read this, and I read it, every chance that they get to take a jab at not only the Cybertruck, but people who own Cybertrucks or people mm-hmm. who want to own a Cybertruck. It's they're clearly not happy and not a fan of the Cybertruck, and that's fine. But I think there's a better way to do it. I feel like when you're that platform, you have some type of responsibility to just be maybe just semi-professional.
It's all so. I mean, I feel like some tells. I'm sure that you know you can probably just look up who the author was. It looks like it was Alexander or somebody or other. But I mean, reading through some of the article while you had it up on screen, like there's a part of it where like he's like, "Well, somebody move that darn Cybertruck. The sun's reflecting off the stainless steel and setting leaves on fire." And I'm like,
"Yeah."
So is it supposed to be funny? Like, is this like what? I mean, I'm sorry. This is like that's got some, you know, take my wife, please type humor to it. I'm like, okay, you can punch it all you want, but to imply objectively that everybody who has eyeballs hates the Cybertruck, it's like, I mean, that's a pretty bold statement to think that you can be the one to assert that it's Cybertruck owners and then everyone else on the planet has taste. I mean, I don't know, what do we say before? Pharrell has a Cybertruck. You telling me Pharrell doesn't have taste? God damn it. So,
yeah,
disappointing to see that what these periodicals have become, because clearly they have guest authors, they have people who write, and then they probably get paid, and then they probably get invited back, and so on and so forth. But, you know, there's no longer any kind of editorial relationship, probably, with these brands. Because it's like reading this kind of stuff, I'm like, anybody who is just considering a Cybertruck, anybody who is still waiting, wanting to get one, that are looking for objective views on what is available to buy, they're going to be like, I don't want to go to Motor Trend because I might read some article written by some hack comedian, you know, chucking jokes about setting chipmunks on fire with the what? Like, I'm sorry. You know, Motor Trend used to be a serious periodical. But if it's if this is what it is now, then say it out loud. Say it with your chest so that people know that that kind of bias is just what they let fly at Motor Trend. But
exactly. Anyway. I was just saying that was my argument. Basically, look at the horse source, and I think what's happening is that Alex is letting his bias kind of show through. Because looking back through all of his articles this year that you know revolve around Tesla, it's always painted in kind of a negative light. Like he talks about the RoboVan, calling it like computer mouse shaped van. So it's like already in the headline, he's already kind of painting his bias into there, and I think that's what we're seeing. But you're right. It's kind of shameful that Motor Trend is leaning towards more like clickbaity stuff that like it looks like he's gotten all of his information from Reddit and Facebook and he hasn't really even driven in a Cybertruck before.
I mean, also I would be eager to make the joke to be like, is this Motor Trend cutting costs? Because I know they rent their vehicles for these reviews. I think that either or the manufacturer sends them one directly. Maybe they just didn't want to go bother with renting another Cybertruck and they knew they weren't going to get one from Tesla itself, so they're just like, oh, we'll leave it off. It'll be funnier that way. Hang on, I got a great idea for the article.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. I have talked to other publications in the past in regards to Tesla, and one thing that I've heard from multiple people is the fact that they feel like Tesla doesn't do that. Tesla doesn't send them test vehicles. And so it's almost like they get upset with the idea of we're a publication, we're Motor Trend, and you should be sending us vehicles, and you don't. So you know what we're going to do?
Yeah.
We're going to bash you in our articles. And that's
unless you're a supercar maker, then apparently that it's like, please, please let us drive. You know, so, okay, so what's the budget range where you get a fair shake at Motor Trend? Is it only the 200,000 and up models? Is it the mass produced ones? But, you know, they're at 120, right? Teetering on the limit. Like, everything's for pay these days. It's so freaking annoying. You know, you read a magazine, you read a periodical, be like, hey, there's a new car out. I would like to hear some objective takes. I feel like that's probably why you guys, when you had your Cybertruck, people came up to you and talked to you about it. Yeah. They're like, what are your experiences? Because the shit that we see in the news about this truck, apparently it's both exploding and freezing at the same time. It's amazing technology all in a you know, stainless steel razor blade of a truck. Like, it's so frustrating. It's so silly.
I've said it many, many times. I had no intentions of ever having a YouTube channel or doing anything like this. I never crossed my mind. It wasn't until I actually configured my Cybertruck, and I was, once again, I'm doing my research. I'm going online. I'm trying to read as many things as I can. And everything I read was how horrible this truck was, how it can't do truck things, and how it's going to break. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. And I said, you know what? I'm buying the truck. I'm going to get this truck. Am I the guy that does the craziest truck things? No, I don't. But I do truck things. And so it's like, I'm gonna take delivery of this truck. I'm going to do whatever I would normally do with any other truck. And I'm just going to document it. And I'm going to share it. And now, hopefully, those videos will help people when someone says, hey, can the Cybertruck tow my trailer? And I've got so many emails, so many comments from people thanking me for my tow videos because they go, I own a trailer the same exact size as yours. And I was curious, what can I do with this truck? Can it handle it? And you answer that question. And I've had people tell me, you've answered the question and I'm not going to buy the truck because it's not doing what I need it to do.
Yeah.
I helped the person and that's all I cared about. And so that's kind of where maybe, you know, someone might look at this, our conversation and go, oh, what are you so upset about? And I'm really not upset, but you know, someone may go, why is it bothering you? It's not that it's bothering me. It's more just the fact that I just don't understand why we live in a society to where people have to, like, just give the factual information.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the reason why we have this podcast, right?
Yeah.
It's just give the factual information for better or for worse. I've talked about the problems with the Cybertruck. I've talked about how my inverter has gone out on me twice and how frustrating that was and all the other little issues that I've had with the Cybertruck. So I will clearly tell you when I'm not happy with Tesla and the Cybertruck. But, you know, I don't know. I just look at it and go, you don't need to. There's a level of professionalism you can have and just sitting there saying, okay, this is what it is. I don't mind if, you know, who was the guy that wrote this article? Alexander. I have no problem him putting in the headline, Cybertruck, I hate it. Fine. Clickbaity. People are going to click on it. That's fine. But then tell me why you hate it. Factually.
The objective.
Yeah. Give me the reasons why you hate it. Tell me that you don't like the shape of
it. And what's the subject? What was the name of the article again?
The name of the article is 2025 Motor Trend Truck of the Year Behind the Cybertruck Scenes. Believe it or not, trucks other than Tesla Stainless Steel Wonder competed for this year's award.
Okay, so when I read that subject, because I remember seeing it on Reddit, like, I guess on the publication date, I remember seeing it and being like, that is grammatically like word salad, because I thought that it was saying, yeah, the Cybertruck's a part of the competition, you know, behind the scenes or something like that. Like, it's ambiguous to me that it's not, you know, oh, by the way, we said the Cybertruck for it this year. So you've already got a misleading subject and then you jump into it. I honestly, when we started talking about this, I genuinely thought the Cybertruck was included until you had brought up that it wasn't and that the whole thing was a punching article. And I'm like, what? So, okay. And still, it's stupid. So,
and you know, I'm kind of glancing over at chat. We have Tesla Tino in chat, which I think everybody knows who he is if you're in the Tesla community. So, thank you for joining us tonight. He would be the perfect person to talk to because I just saw his video where he has over 50,000 miles on his Cybertruck, and he went all the way to the Arctic Ocean. He's the guy I want to hear the opinion on.
Yeah.
Is a Cybertruck capable? Is a Cybertruck reliable? Is it, you know, that and you know, a guy like Alexander from Motor Trend, who clearly doesn't own one, probably drove it less time than a Chase was in the Cyber Beast a few days ago.
I doubt he even drove it, but
you know, and it's just like, and that's the problem is that Motor Trend has that influence and you're just going to sit there and just,
well, so, and I think that, and you know, we talk about technology and I feel like some of that includes, you can watch the sun setting of legacy technology, because like before when you were a periodical, you were printed. So there was a lot of more concern about the editorial nature of what you were writing, who it reached, whatever. Nowadays, they still want you to read Motor Trend, but they don't get the vehicles for a full, you know, period of time to put it through all of its paces because there's so many trucks and it would cost so much money logistically. So, you know, it's limited in scope, but we have our friends on YouTube who are able to do a, hey, I got an entire channel like yours, Eric, where you can be like, these are literally everything that I know about this truck that I'm doing with the truck. You're not, you know, it's not like you're just sitting there being like, I love the thing so much. Like you're using it, you're doing it, you're showing it. You are actually more informative than any Motor Trend article is ever going to possibly be, unless they spend like hundreds of thousands of dollars to really research the hell out of the thing. So like, this is you and people, you know, who are hopefully listening, right? You know, folks on YouTube replacing legacy media because they're the ones who are really giving it a fair shake. They're the ones who are really showing you what the product is.
So we're like, when I documented the jump, I was like, this is exactly where we were. This is the settings I put it in. If you want to do it too, here you go. This is how you do it.
And you know, 100%.
Yeah.
And I hope that someone sees that and does it again.
Yep. And creates another fantastic video. Well, there's my little rant. I apologize for anybody that didn't like that, but I just, you know, I had to do that. Wanted to also talk about something that kind of is some good news over here. Some news I think we've been predicting for quite some time. And what it is it seems like we're getting closer and closer and closer to just having the NACS being the standard, right?
Yep.
Good.
And right here in this article, they talk about how the Biden administration is passing that for all federally funded electric vehicle chargers moving forward, that they're going to have Tesla's charging plug. So that's just them essentially going, this is what's kind of the popular or the most common plug. And so anything we build from here on out is going to have the NACS. And, you know, we've talked about it for a few weeks now that how GM and everybody else is jumping on board with NACS. And it's inevitable at this point that NACS is going to be the standard. And now we just need everybody to figure out and put it in one location so every vehicle has it. In that one spot, and we don't need to be worrying about any of that.
Yeah. I think that we've seen that it's like the global manufacturing race is on, and I'm sure that governmentally it's kind of one of those, you know, when you're controlling so much of transportation, decisions got to be made to be like, no, we need unification. We can't fragment this. We can't have 8 different plug types and people driving up this wherever. You know, first we unify the hardware, and then they're going to have to set up some sort of, you know, basic expectations for weights and measures, the way that they apply it to gasoline, something equivalent to EV charging.
I just wonder about some of the superchargers that are like non-Tesla, that what they're going to have to do. Like EVgo is all that one, what, J11?
They're the CCS connector. It has the J1772 integrated at the top, but it's got the little foot, I call it. Yeah. You know, it's the little thing below it. Yeah, that's the CCS1 or CCS2 connector or whatever.
But I guess they would just have to have an adapter around for a while until we eventually kind of sunset those into just NACS.
Yeah, or until the manufacturer comes up with a way to literally just replace the module, you know, to some sort of a swap on the plug, if you will.
And you know what? You bringing that up, Chase, it made me just think that I know somebody that owns a Cybertruck that's part of the Cybertruck community out here in Southern California, and he actually works for a company that makes these pedestals and these units, so that he'd be the perfect person to talk to and ask, you know, how simple or easy is that? Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's more difficult than we know. Yeah. I would imagine it's probably something that they could retrofit and change out fairly easily. Yeah.
Those guys know their stuff. That's how I got tipped off about, you know, the 500 kilowatt capability for the Cybertruck, because a renter had just that. He rented the Cybertruck to go take it back to his company to go test it, because they make their own chargers. And they're like, yeah, this thing can go up to 1,000.
That's
like,
right, we'll see. That's wild. And we'll see how high they get up to at some point to help with all this charging with this massive battery. Wanted to talk about, Will sent this article a few days ago in regards to battery life. It's something that is very interesting because every time, even today, right? I mean, the electric vehicle technology is still something that not everybody is on board with and trusts. And a big thing, and something that I'm sure the three of us and probably everybody in chat gets a lot of the times when talking about electric vehicles, well, what are you going to do when your battery goes out, when your battery dies, when you have to replace your battery? It's going to cost you a fortune. Mm-hmm. Well, there's been studies for years, and studies now are showing that the electric vehicle batteries are lasting longer than they originally anticipated, and that the technology is getting so much better to where it's reducing the degradation.
Could last longer than 8 years, says right there.
Yeah. Well, it says right here, in fact, they could still be very usable even after 20 years.
Yep. That's phenomenal.
They also say in the video that that's a big disruption to the automotive industry because the average, I guess, lifespan of a vehicle is about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking about even at 20, but they're saying possibly even longer than that because we're not at 20 years yet.
Yeah.
Electric vehicles. So it's hard to really say past that, but that's big. That's big, big news.
Yeah. And then remember what that's going to do to the used vehicle market. Cause you got people who are looking at, I could pay, you know, $20,000 for a Corolla, or I could pay $20,000 for a used Model 3 from Hertz or something like that. Imagine what it's going to be in a couple of years where you've got cars that are considered, you know, 15 years or 150,000 miles on the engine. And people are going to be like, no, I can't drive that. I'm going to have to fix way too much on it versus an electric vehicle. It's like, yeah, it's 150,000 miles. It was manufactured 6 years ago. It's got about 14 more years left.
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, will completely function and be serviceable by the company.
I think that's the biggest benefit that we have right now is the used car market is benefiting the buyer right now until they figure that out.
Mm.
It's like, that's where I'm like, I would love to just get back to a Cybertruck, but used, even a non-Foundation Series 1 year used is going to be a way better deal with like 40,000 miles on it than it would be brand new.
Full price. I'll be honest. I think the only conditions under which I would end up with a Cybertruck again is unfortunately either like hitting the lottery or something insane like that. Or if for whatever reason, my wife, who I love more than anyone else in the world, if she came to me and said, babe, I want to trade in my Model Y and drive a Cybertruck. Because I feel like that's the only other option. Because it's like, I don't see the justify of owning two cars. I'm not that guy, I guess. You know, and then wanting to have fun with it, it's like, yeah, I guess I could rent one if I, you know, really wanted to goof off with it. So I think the only way I'd be able to own again. Or unless they come down and my Rivian leases out and, you know, they become really, really attractive again. So
same here. Yeah. My wife has already been saying that she misses it. So it's definitely like a, it's nice to have a third row.
Here we go.
There we go.
It is really nice. Yeah.
There we go. It's happening. It's happening for Chase. Well, going back to this article though, it says right here, consulting firm P3 recently analyzed 7,000 fleet electric vehicles in partnership with Australian battery testing specialist Avilo. Their report showed that on average, EV batteries have 90% capacity after 100,000 kilometers of driving. Mm-hmm. And at 300,000 kilometers, they still have 87% of their original kilowatts left.
Big.
That's really, really great. I mean, 87%, that's a lot of, I mean, kilometers, but that's a lot of miles.
Yeah.
So
I think that the big thing to keep in mind is that it's like, you know, this is also probably something that they have been tracking for a while because, you know, 150,000 miles, you know, that's been hit a number of times with early Tesla vehicles, obviously. And, you know, that kind of battery, like my 2017 Model X's battery had a serious fault that needed to be replaced or something. So I don't think that earlier Teslas, and I guess I'm saying anything before like 2018, 2019, anything before the Model 3, really, I think that they had the best that we could do with the technology in building those batteries, but they really got better at them with the newer vehicles. And I think everybody got better at them. Like battery companies were getting bought up by, you know, Tesla or any number of other companies. And they just got way better at implementing these batteries that now that they can last. So
100%.
That's pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 2024 coming up on 2025. So, I mean, 150,000, trying to imagine, what is that? Like a 10 year span or something like that. So I don't know. I'll try it later.
You're fine. Yeah. It's great to hear. It's great to see because, you know, it's like for myself, I've said it many times, I want to keep the Cybertruck for as long as possible. And so just knowing that there's companies out there doing these tests and showing that there's, you know, going to be longevity in these batteries because the technology is just getting that much better.
And this is also something, actually, let's remember that the whole point of it is, or sorry, some of the best benefit is the environmental benefit. And the fact that you've got used vehicles that are going to be sunsetted or salvaged or just gone, trashed over electric vehicles, being able to provide that many drivers the ability to you know, last longer than any used car that they could have possibly gotten. Mm-hmm. I mean, that keeps more ICE vehicles off the road and more electric vehicles on the road, which decreases the amount of carbon.
100%. moving on from that, I wanted to, we're kind of getting later in the show, so I want to kind of get through a few things. Not sure if everybody remembers, but I had Brian, OG Cyber, on the podcast a few weeks ago, and he was talking about some issues when his inverter went out on his Cybertruck. Well, he also runs the Cyber Odyssey Cybertruck Club down here in Southern California. Super nice guy, always doing great things for the Cybertruck community and Tesla community. And he, this weekend, this Saturday, is doing, he's partnering up with Tesla and the Ronald McDonald House to do a fundraiser. I have some pictures and things here to share. What they're doing is they're calling it Fill a Truck. So what they want to do is they want to fill up Cybertrucks. There's going to be multiple Cybertrucks there. I'm hoping to try to get out there because he invited me and I would love to do this. But as everybody knows, I'm always talking about it. My son plays basketball and he's got a tournament this weekend. I got to take him too. So if time permits, I'm going to get myself out there. But they want to fill up the Cybertrucks with food donations. So if anybody is in the Southern California area and wants to participate, wants to come to this event, it's for a really great cause. I love everything that Brian's been doing. So it's something that I'm very proud to share with everyone. And I hope if you're in the area that you can get out there and participate and show some support for kids and you know, those that are in need.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great.
So I'll leave that up for a little bit. Yeah. And then I think what I want to get into also is some fun stuff. What I want to do is I want to kind of challenge some of our, you know, listeners and viewers and have them, I want to see how creative people could get with their holiday decorations for their Cybertrucks. You know, I've already seen some other Cybertruck owners and, you know, on some of the forums, people are putting Christmas lights and doing all kinds of cool, fun things with their Cybertrucks. So I'm going to call out Jay.
Yeah.
Jay, yeah. I want to see what you could do with your Cybertruck. Put some lights on it. What I'm hoping to do is take my Cybertruck. There's some communities down here near me that the whole community lights, you know, puts lights on their homes and really goes all out. I'm hoping to get to one of those communities here soon. And if so, then I'll do something with my Cybertruck, maybe do a video or some pictures and post them online. So I want to see what everybody else could do. No, I want to see some creativity with their Cybertrucks. You know, we're always talking about the wraps, right? And the creativity people are doing with the wraps. Well, let's do something for the holidays and get fun with it.
Put that plug in the bed to use.
Exactly.
Let's see what you can do. I mean, you got all 240 volts of it.
Exactly. You have plenty of juice there to have some fun.
Yeah. We actually went to one of those communities over the weekend. Or no, sorry, it was just the other day, earlier this week, where it was an entire cul-de-sac, and all of the houses on the cul-de-sac were, like, all decorated, and it was all synced up to, like, the same, like, radio station. It was the entire cul-de-sac as, like, cool. A big light show. Yeah. It was really neat.
It's crazy what people do at these...
I'm gonna guess that neighborhood also had the highest HOA you've ever heard of. You know, it's like $1,000 a month or something like that. But that pays for them to have a synchronized light show where they come to your house and put it on there. And they're like, you're not allowed to say anything. Keep it off.
Or if you buy one of the houses in that neighborhood or in that cul-de-sac, you're like contractually obligated to be like...
100%.
Exactly.
You know, the decorations are in your attic. Just tell us when.
Like, I know of people that live in communities like that and that they say, like, when... someone moves into the community, it's like, you know, that's like one of the first things they go and do, and like knock on their door, like, hey, you better be ready for, you know, the holidays, you know, this is what we do. So
I want to believe it's like an old school gangster shakedown, be like, you like Christmas around here, see? I just want to make sure that's said, right? Yeah.
It'd be a shame if your trash can ended up down the street.
There's always that. It's funny because whenever I go to those communities, there's always that one guy where the house is just dark, and it's like, okay, that's a Scrooge. So
I've seen one out here that had a little neon sign that just had an arrow pointing to their neighbor and said ditto. Because his neighbor had like
That's cool.
Fully decorated, but he had like 6 or 7 animatronics, like in their own little like boxes and like doing songs and music, and like it was crazy. Like it had Elvis and the Kringles. It was really cool.
That's what I'm saying. People do it to their houses, so let's see what people could do with their cars. And I'm sure we're gonna be seeing a lot of that in the social media. So once again, Jay, I'm looking at you, Jay. I'm counting on you. So
like I have to say, Eric, I'm sorry, I don't have any Christmas lights up right now.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you felt that strongly about it.
No, I don't. Like, I don't.
Scrooge!
No. I don't
talk
either.
About this.
I don't either. No, I'm talking about those communities where there's 100 homes in the community and there's one guy that doesn't have a light, you know, that has lights. Everybody else is all, you know, it's almost like you just feel that pressure of like, okay, I just got to do it because everybody else is doing it. But he's going, I don't care. You guys do whatever you want. I'm not doing it. That's what I meant. No, I'll be honest.
That'd be a hilarious movie. I could already see that. Like Jim Carrey's just like the grump at the end of the street who won't put up Christmas lights. But then he like finds out, he's like, ah, I gotta go put up the Christmas lights for the grandkids or something like that. That'd be hilarious.
That'd be a great idea for a film. So you basically
make
the Grinch, but it's the real person as the Grinch. It's still Jim Carrey.
Yeah, exactly.
Just playing like another angry grandpa.
We're going to make it someday.
Call up Universal.
Bam.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Will. I wasn't calling you out. I actually,
it's okay.
I do not have anything outside my house for the holidays. And when I was in Reno this past weekend for a basketball tournament with my son, and when we were leaving the house, he asked me, "So, Dad, when are we going to put the lights up?" I'm like, "I never have any time, but yes, I need to do that, but I haven't
done it." Yeah. Besides, it's officially 2 weeks out. I feel like now is reasonably when most people would be like, okay, now I probably should put up the lights.
Yeah, I need to get to it. So hopefully
it's awkward.
This
after
weekend.
Thanksgiving, it's awkward. You know, when you have a late Thanksgiving like we did, it's always the question of when to put shit up. We're doing the Bob Cratchit Christmas this year. So it's like, okay, we got the old decorations out. That's fine.
People had the lights on before Christmas and the HOA was complaining. They're like, now, wait until after Thanksgiving.
They came over and shot my dog.
I think it would be, we can't ignore the big thing with Tesla this past week. And that's that's the stock.
Holy shit. Up 5% today.
It's just
what's the 5 day? I'll throw some water on this. Okay, cool.
Almost 18%.
What's the 1 month?
21%.
Yeah.
This is now an all-time high, too.
I mean, you're talking about almost 150% in the last 6 months. Tesla stock is soaring. It's going up. If you're not in, get in. This isn't any advice. I'm just telling you that, I mean, look at the trend. It's going up. And so I don't want to ignore that. I want to address that. Just sit there and say, look, I mean, Tesla's doing well.
So if we're going to talk about it, my question is, okay, so what do we imagine is stipulating this value? If we had to guess, what is it? Because I don't think it's just the car business. I feel like so much of it is kind of the speculation on what they can do with their AI and their Tesla bots. You know, I've seen more videos of Optimus stumbling down the sides of hills and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, there's more presence for that. I'm kind of wondering if it's like basically what's creating that value that's kind of propping it up. Maybe it's a loaded question. I don't know, but I'm just curious.
The Optimus stuff, the robotaxi stuff, I think that's all helping it push it in the right direction. But it's also, I think somehow I still feel like SpaceX is baked into it somehow, even though they're separate companies, but there's really no other way to like buy SpaceX. And people are just like, all right, well, they're associated. They're never going to split. So might as well just buy a Tesla.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think from things that I've read, yes, I think it has very, very little to do with the automotive part of it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with AI and their storage solutions, their battery storage. I think that's where people are excited. And I think that's where, to be quite frank, I think that's where Elon's spending a lot of his time. I think he's spending a lot of his time with the AI side and not, you know, as much in the automotive side, to be honest. And I don't know that for sure, but it just seems that way. When he's talking a lot about AI. you know, and yeah, I mean, look at our good friend Optimus here. He's probably, I don't know if he's running away or running to, you know, Kim Kardashian, but
yeah, he's chasing her down the hillside.
He's definitely going.
Babe, where are you going? Come back.
So, yeah, this video right here. I like this one.
I promise I'll stop making Ray J jokes.
Yeah, he's so it's something that we have to pay attention to. I mean, the stock is just it's soaring, so we'll see how long that lasts and how high it can get.
Well, now if you remember a quick history lesson going back to 2018, Elon at the time tweeted that he would take the company private at a price of $4.20 per share.
$4.20, yeah.
He said funding secured. So
funding secured.
I think it's just interesting that the last run up that we had in 2021, where Tesla was running up crazy, it actually topped out. I think at like 416. I got so close to 420 because I think everyone just wanted to see 420,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't. So the fact that like it started a resurgence, like we're looking at like early last year, the fact that it was starting to come back, I think it was a safe bet to assume we would at least see 420 again,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not go past it.
So I've seen 420.
That being said, I wouldn't be shocked if we're down like 3% tomorrow.
Well, that's the stock market, right?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised either. But either way, I mean, Tesla, I don't think is going anywhere, and we'll see. I'm along for the ride. We'll see where it goes, where it takes us. Before we wrap it all up, I wanted to share, it's not necessarily the wrap of the week, because it's, I'll just show everybody. Let's look at it. Yeah, let's just look at
it. He's like,
yeah.
So.
If they made Dumb and Dumber now. That's the dog mobile. I got worms.
Yeah. My favorite childhood movie.
I shall call it Burt Reynolds.
I just love it because, like, at one point, did we talk about it on the pod about the AstroTurf? That was my idea. Like, put AstroTurf on the outside of it.
No.
That was one of the wrap ideas. I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool to, like, wrap it with actual AstroTurf on the outside, and then you can even, like, paint the line so it's like a football field.
Interesting. I thought you were going to go golf.
It would be cool. But that would be like the best way to kill its aerodynamics in one go.
Oh yeah,
because it would become it would just be like a sail at that point, just grabbing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know if you've seen my Cybertruck, but I've killed their aerodynamics a long time ago. So I might as well just put whatever.
I'm serious. Like I feel like the grass would do a real damage to it.
Mm-hmm.
So then the other weird thought that I just had was like, so you've got this car that's got all this hair on it, but like, what if you have to shave it? Like, what if it keeps growing? That's some new technology.
I'm just curious to
just
see.
Just grows hair from the sun.
See this week after they installed it, you know? I'm mm-hmm. sure it's not going to look so fluffy. And
especially if it gets wet.
Oof. Yeah. No.
Like a gross teddy
bear. No,
that
thing's going to live inside somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's going to be in a kid zone or something. Yeah, so that's I guess you could call it the wrap of the week. It's you know, we've talked about it many times, the creativity of people. And I mean, I have to, you know, give them a tip of my cap as, you know, it seems like it's a nod to the, you know, Dumb and Dumber days. So I love that. So
I dig it.
Yep. Love it. Same here. So
it's got that Highland cow. Like I want to go up and pet it. Not like right now while it's clean, not like later when it's dirty.
I want to go hug it.
Exactly.
I just want to give it a hug. Well, other than that, that's all I got, guys. Appreciate everybody who came out and you know, jumped into chat. Tesla Tino joined us tonight, so woo! Appreciate him. I would love to get him on the pod just to talk to him about some of this stuff. Maybe we could
hear the road stories.
Yeah, I would love that. So, thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you, everyone that joined us in chat. We'll see you guys next week.